Super Talk 99.7 WTN 938. I am Pamela Furr. Glad to have you on board today. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's going to be a gorgeous day out there. I'm so jealous, but at least at 12 o'clock, I get to go back outside and see the sunshine, get some vitamin D in my body. So let's talk about guns, shall we? Now, the whole reason why any of this has come up is because of what happened at Covenant School. We've kind of, I think, in this state, have lost focus of that. And it's unfortunate. But the governor yesterday decided that he wanted to issue an executive order aimed at strengthening background checks for firearm purchases. He's also calling for lawmakers to pass an order of protection law to keep guns away from people who present a danger to themselves or others. Right now, I think the order of protection law that's on the books is in the case of domestic violence or domestic cases where you're involved with that person, where you live with them, involved romantically, whatever the case may be. So according to Governor Lee, he said, I'm asking the General Assembly to bring forward an order of protection law that will provide the broader population cover safety from those who are a danger to themselves or the population. So I wanted to, that concerns me. And in the last segment, I told you exactly why. This segment, I wanted to bring on John Harris with the Tennessee Firearms Association to have a conversation about my concerns, and I'm sure some concerns of others. In fact, I've got a statement here from a member of the Libertarian Party, saying that they do not think that an order of protection law, a new one, a stiffer one, is going to do what Governor Lee thinks it's going to do. John Harris, what do you think?
Well, I do not think what he's proposing is really an improvement or a change in order protection. What Governor Lee has proposed, regardless of how he mischaracterizes its category, is quite simply what's more commonly referred to as a red flag law or an extreme risk protection order.
Mm-hmm. What would that do? And has it worked? I mean, this is what you do for a living, right? With the Tennessee Firearms Association. Has it worked in any other state where they've passed this kind of legislation?
Well, there's a number of states, somewhere around 20, maybe 20 to 22 at this point, that have passed these kinds of laws. In almost all instances, they're either passed by progressive states that are run by Democrats, or they're passed in a knee-jerk response to some incident. But the fact is that courts, having looked at these things in retrospect, find that in a substantial number of cases, the orders never should have been issued in the first place, that they improperly were issued by the court. There wasn't adequate evidence to suggest that they could be issued by the court. And in fact, since last summer, there have been two cases that I'm aware of out of New York State following the Supreme Court's Bruin decision last year that have held that New York State's red flag laws are unconstitutional to the extent they infringe on Second Amendment rights under the standards that have now been imposed by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Interesting. And see, that's my problem with this. You know, I gave my own personal experience with someone who just wanted to cause me problems. But I think the unintended consequences, yes, the governor's heart is in the right place, but the unintended consequences are good people who just want their weapons to protect somebody are going to end up in court having to fight for their right to keep their weapons.
Well, that's true, and I'll give you, for example, I mean, you are correct when you said earlier that I'm involved with and serve as the executive director for the Tennessee Firearms Association, but that's a volunteer position that I hold. Mm-hmm. You know, as you're aware, I've been a practicing attorney in Nashville now since 1986, 37 years, and so I have seen these cases go through the court system, and orders of protection, you're correct, as they currently exist in Tennessee, typically require that the relationship between the individuals either be that of, well, let's just say domestic.
Domestic,
that they have to have some type of relationship, either husband, wife, spouse, parent, live-in, dating. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some type of domestic relationship. And unfortunately, those types of orders have frequently been used in domestic proceedings as a tool to take unfair advantage of one spouse or the other. Because they know it results in almost immediately a seizure order of firearms.
Right.
And if you're a police officer or security guard and all of a sudden your ability to earn a living is impacted because some court wrongfully issued an order of protection, you got a serious problem.
And it takes time and it takes money to get that adjudicated. And, you know, anyway, like you said, you've got police officers, security guards, you got other people who this is what they do for a living, and that has caused a problem. And then you just have innocent people who now have to spend money to defend themselves, you know, and that's just the domestic cases. Now, if you're broadening that to include anybody, you're going to have police officers dealing with stupid cases. They complain about the ones they have to deal with now that are just people trying to solve arguments and solve problems, not true domestic violence cases. Those kind of get lost in the shuffle sometimes. So now you've expanded it. I think unintended consequences here. Now, let me ask you a question, though. What do you think about the executive order that he passed saying that he wants it to be quicker and faster that court information actually get to the TBI? I believe that's how the executive order states, that if there is court information where you have a mentally unstable person, I guess, that has been in some trouble or there's been a report, that it gets to TBI faster so that when background checks happen, they have that information. What do you think about the executive order?
The executive order is, I've read it, it's not particularly clear on exactly what categories of information he's referring to.
Mm-hmm.
He does clearly state that he wants whatever that information is reported from the gathering agency, say a court clerk, and reported to TBI or the state database that he's referencing within 72 hours. You know, and maybe that works, maybe it doesn't, because you've got weekends, you've got four-day holidays, you've got a lot of things that might interfere with that. But let's assume all he's really doing is he's setting a deadline by which he wants relevant information added to the database.
Right.
There's another component of his executive order, though, that gave me pause, where he talked about orders concerning mental health. Mm-hmm. And that one is a little troubling because I'm not sure specifically what he's talking about. And the reason is the Gun Control Act, the 68 federal act that we operate under, and Tennessee operates by reference under the federal act, doesn't make all mental health situations disqualifying. So, for example, people can have depression as a result of the death of a spouse,
right,
a child, a close friend, and that could be classified as you know, an acute mental health event, but one that you're likely going to overcome within a brief period of time. You could have the same thing because, you know, you didn't get the birthday present you wanted, or you didn't, something else didn't go your way. Or you could have other types of mental health circumstances,
sure,
that don't rise to the level that federal law currently says is disqualifying. And because federal law says not that you've got a mental health condition, federal law says you got to be a mental defective. And typically mental defective as applied under that statute in the cases that have looked at it is that you have a for example, a mental health condition that you've had since birth.
Right.
That is severe enough that you just can't function in society.
Right.
So the law is extreme in terms of its spectrum when it talks about mental health, but the Gun Control Act is very limited that there's only certain categories of mental health issues. And so if we look at the Covenant shooter, for example, we don't know what mental or emotional health issues she was being treated for. Given what she did for a living and her life experiences and what we do know about her, it doesn't appear that she was mentally defective.
Right.
She may have had a mental health issue, but she would not necessarily fall within the mental defective category.
And my understanding, too, John, is that, you know, mental health providers, the counselors, therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, don't have to, quote, turn anybody in unless they are presenting as a danger to themselves or others. Then at that point, am I right? By law, they then have to contact law enforcement, do they not?
Typically, yes, and that's because we have a set of statutes in Tennessee that deal with, well, they start off with the concept of emergency involuntary committals, and that's a situation where a qualified mental health, usually a doctor, but it could be some people that are specially trained in the mental health field, assess an individual. Usually it requires two independent assessments, and those medical professionals have to sign statements saying that they've evaluated the person, that they have a mental health or an emotional health issue, and that as a result of that specific mental health or emotional health issue, which they have to state clearly what it is, that the person poses an immediate risk of harm to themselves or others.
Right.
So you can have people who have mental health treatment, emotional health treatment, that maybe even are severely depressed or outside the spectrum of what we consider normal, but that don't create that risk,
right,
that would trigger the emergency reporting.
The emergency reporting. Interesting. John, I've run out of time. I always love talking to you. It sounds like to me that we should all be concerned and say to the governor and to our legislature, hold on, let's not be knee-jerk here with this situation, just because people are demanding do something now, and not look at the consequences that could happen if you pass this so-called order of protection law. That's what it sounds like you're saying. Yes,
you're exactly right. Yeah. Knee-jerk is a great way to put it.
Yeah. All right, John, thank you so much. If people want to find out more about the Tennessee Firearms Association, you've got a website, I'm sure.
We do, absolutely. TennesseeFirearms.com, all spelled out.
Perfect. Thank you, John Harris. We'll talk to you soon.